This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
You are listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris, sitting in for Jesse Kelly. And my goodness, happy Indigenous People Day. Of course, it is Columbus Day, and that means that most federal workers and banks are not working today. But you're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris. Happy to be filling in for Jesse Kelly. I am a talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona. And just let me see, about 5 years ago on Columbus Day, we had the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, go to the microphones and trash, and I mean trash, Columbus Day. Trash the Explorer Columbus. Trash America. And she did it so eloquently, reading off of the teleprompter.
It is an honor, of course, to be with you this week as we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, as we speak truth about our nation's history. Since 1934, every October, the United States has recognized the voyage of the European explorers who first landed on the shores of the Americas. But that is not the whole story. That has never been the whole story. Those explorers ushered in a wave of devastation for tribal nations, perpetrating violence, stealing land, and spreading disease. We must not shy away from this shameful past. And we must shed light on it and do everything we can to address the impact of the past on Native communities today.
Wow. You know what? She could give the same speech today. But instead of talking about how those Native explorers, or I should say the Columbus, ushered in a wave of destruction, devastation for tribal nations, she could be talking about the illegal aliens that are swarmed into our country. Those illegal aliens ushered in by the Biden-Harris administration, perpetuating violence, stealing land and apartment complexes, spreading disease. You know, we really don't talk about the new diseases. Shouldn't say new diseases, the old diseases that are taking hold in America today because of all of the unvaccinated illegals coming across the border. Kamala Harris said we must shed light on it and do everything we can to address the impact of the past of on Native communities. Well, I think that we must do everything we can to shed light on the Biden-Harris administration, who opened up the borders, and the impact of that administrative move on American communities today. I tell you what, everything that the Camp Harris is doing today is coming back and biting them in the patookas. And for that, I am grateful. They thought that they could replace Joe Biden and then absolutely run out the clock. But they were wrong. The American people were not as naive as the Harris-Biden administration, as the Democrats, as the media thought they were. They are hipped to all of these actions. They are keen to the disinformation that is being spread. And they have taken umbrage with the straight out lying. There's no way around it. Right now, I believe that the Harris campaign is in a free fall. It's obvious that they're slipping, but I think free fall. I think the panic has set in. And one of the major reasons why panic is setting in is because of the overt lies that the administration has been telling the American people about illegal immigration. On day one, Biden got into office and dismantled all of President Trump's policies, the stay in Mexico policy, stopped the building of the wall, and then just opened up the floodgates, told Border Patrol that they weren't needed to patrol the border. No, but we need you to go down there and get some Pampers. We need for you to go down there and get some baby formula. We need for you to make, you know, welfare runs to the store and then bring it back to all of these new Americans. They didn't tell ICE to deport people. They turned ICE into an Uber service. You know, busing people all over the country. Flying illegals in. Just inundating whole communities like Springfield, Ohio. Every Springfield in America, starting out with the small towns. Well, but we can't leave the big cities out of it. Denver, Colorado, Chicago, Illinois, New York, New York. And New York Mayor Eric Adams is the only Democrat. Think about this for a moment. He's the only prominent Democrat that has something to say about it. He spoke out against this policy that was ruining his city. And what did he get for it? He got indicted. And they're gutting his administration in New York. Even as I speak, people are retiring, people getting indicted. That's what happens when you run afoul of the administration, of the regime. And those other Democrats, well, they're paying attention. They got the memo. Either they get on board or they suffer the consequences. You need look no further than Representative Crockett, Jasmine Crockett out of Texas. This woman is crazy. I think she's replaced. Who was the congresswoman of Texas who recently passed away? May she rest in peace. She's famous for Sheila Jackson Lee. Thank you, Chris. That is Jesse Kelly's producer. Sheila Jackson Lee. She who went to the microphone and said, "I am a freed slave," amongst other ridiculous things. Jasmine Crockett has wasted no time taking her place. She said, "You know what? The Trump administration. I agree with them. I agree with them that gains are taken over, but it's not these poor people coming in from other countries that just want to be a part of the American dream. No, it's MAGA. It's MAGA people that are the gangs."
He said that we've got these cities and these towns that are being overrun by gangs and the crime out of control. I absolutely agree with that. And guess what? It's the MAGA gang. It is the white supremacists that have decided to descend upon places such as Springfield, Ohio. So I agree with him. I just disagree with who the problems are. The problems are him and his minions. The problems aren't the people that have come to make our economy stronger, the people that have actually been able to help. Like, yeah, I agree that there are problems in our communities, but usually it's some white supremacists on the other side.
It's white supremacists. It's the MAGA gangs that are the problem. It's you. You're part of the MAGA gang. I'm part of the MAGA gang, too. You know what? I think that we should form an official MAGA gang. Maybe we should have a MAGA motorcycle club. I ride a Harley. I want to be the chapter member of the founding chapter member of the MAGA motorcycle club. All you need to do to be a part of this club is to vote early. Get that ballot and send it in now. And you're part of the MAGA gang. This woman is ridiculous. The Democrats are ridiculous. They look at what is an obvious problem, but if they admit that it's a problem, it's going to end up hurting their cause. It's going to end up hurting their party. So what do? They blame you. Remember when President Trump said that, you know what, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you. I'm just standing in the way. He's dead serious. They tried to move him out of the way twice. Wait a minute, three times. Did you hear that over the weekend there was a third assassination attempt against Donald Trump? You didn't. Well, you know, it's not like it's all over the news. I mean, if they report that on the news, all that's going to do is make the president's, approval ratings go up. They don't want that. So they just sit on that news. You got another kook out there in Coachella, California. What, he had a shotgun? He had a loaded firearm? He had a high capacity rounds? Multiple fake passports? Yeah. Oh, they're determined. They're determined to take out the leader of the MAGA gang. But will they? You know what? We pray to our Heavenly Father that they don't. We pray to our Heavenly Father that the arms of the corrupt will be broken. And right now, Donald Trump is that bull in the China shop. And the media, they're very, very concerned because they can't take this down. They can't take down the movement. Have some example of that for you coming up. My name is James T. Harris, sitting in for Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
You are listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris. I am a talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona. Happy to be sitting in for Jesse Kelly today. Yeah, a MAGA gang. That's what they're calling us. And you had the Biden administration just totally ignoring. Well, I shouldn't say ignoring. They know what they're doing. They open up the borders and we have a flood of illegals coming in. We have Vice President Kamala Harris. She's the border czar, don't you know? And she was assigned to fix the problem. But everybody knows that was not the purpose. The reason why Joe Biden did that is because he was tired of Kamala Harris rolling up on him talking about co-presidency. So they jammed her up by making her the czar, knowing that, you know, she can't do anything because this policy was happening all over the world. It's part of the new world order, I guess, you know, but whatever it is, Biden was. He didn't run on it. Did they run on open borders? I remember Donald Trump saying, you know, they want to open the borders. If you let him in, they're going to ruin the country. They're going to have millions of people come in. And Biden didn't want to debate that. He refused to address that. That was during one of the debates. And then, you know, your moderator could have picked up on it, but they chose not to. They're all in cahoots, don't you know? So what happened? She got embarrassed by being the border czar, and they're continuing to embarrass him. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to talk to you about that today on the Jesse Kelly Show. How is more evidence that Joe Biden himself, the first lady, Jill, they don't like Kamala. They're trying to jam her up, trying to trip her up, cut her off at the knees. Meanwhile, we have this open border. I got into a very intense conversation with a gentleman who happens to lean left. A mutual friend just thrust them on me. You know, like, I can't handle my business. Come on, let's talk. Let's do this. After a few minutes, I got in and I said, well, what do you think about the illegal immigration problem? What do you think about our cities being swamped by all of these illegals? What do you think about FEMA funds being diverted to move illegals into apartments, into paid hotels? What do you think about, you know, FEMA funds being used to, you know, to hire shuttle services to get illegals back and forth to work, you know, and get ballots into the hands of illegals? I said, did you vote for that? Do you know any Democrat that voted for that? Was that part of the agenda? That you see, can you give me any examples of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris campaigning on open borders? You can't, can you? So I know Republicans didn't vote for that. And you're telling me that you didn't vote for that. You didn't even know it was an agenda item. How could it be that that is a policy that is being enacted to the you know, the great harm of the American people? How can you explain 10 to 20 million illegals flooding into this country over the last 3.5 years, sir? Can you explain that for me? Can you? He had to say no. At the end of the conversation, he said, "You've given me some things to think about." Absolutely. We don't have to fight. We don't have to call each other names. Let's just have a conversation. If you can explain these policies that nobody ran on, but all of a sudden here they are. Did Biden run on causing inflation? Did he run on giving Americans thousands of dollars because of COVID, knowing that this is going to do great harm to the economy? You know, forget about the Inflation Reduction Act and all that other nonsense. Did he run on that? Well, I mean, we were in COVID when this was happening. Did he say that this was part of the plan, what he wanted to do? Oh, you don't recall that. That's because he didn't run on that. Kamala Harris didn't run on that. Nobody ran on that. But yet here it is, just thrust right onto the American people, to the point where everything is so expensive. Everything is so much higher than it was 4 years ago. And you're telling me that the very people who purposefully caused this now can purposefully fix it? And they hardly acknowledge what's going on? Sir. You said you've given me some things to think about. Well, that's what we do. Conversation is the spice of life. It really is. But you know what? The powers that be, they don't want us to talk about it. They don't want to have a civil discourse. Because if they do, they will lose every single time. And I do believe that is part of the reason why the left, why the media absolutely hates J.D. Vance. I do believe, I told you before he was selected, I do believe when I was sitting in for the great Jesse Kelly, I told you there was only one choice, one brilliant choice that Donald Trump could make, the choice for vice president that could change everything, turn it upside down. I said it was J.D. Vance. And J.D. Vance has been doing a stellar job of taking the America First agenda into the newsrooms across America and eviscerating all of these female hacks they throw at him. Oh, they're hacks. They're hacks. We have an example of that. J.D. Vance. We'll talk about him coming up next. My name is James C. Harris, sitting in for Jesse Kelly.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
You are listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris. I am filling in for the great Jesse Kelly today. I'm a talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona. Do you ever listen to The Jesse Kelly Show and just want the bumper music to continue to play? Is it a soundtrack of your life? I find myself in that situation many times. And I think that Chris, that is Jesse Kelly's producer, I think he does it to me on purpose. Every once in a while, he throws a little curveball up in there. And then I just want to just sing along. J.D. Vance, what a fantastic choice that Donald Trump made. Now, Donald Trump, when he debates, you know, he let's be honest, sometimes you're frustrated because you're like, hit him, just give him the knockout punch, pow, but he doesn't do it. It takes him a little bit longer to get to the point. And then you're frustrated as a listener because you know the issues. You want him just to go in there and take him out, but he doesn't do that. And a lot of folks want to say, well, he's not a good debater. No, I wouldn't necessarily say that because the point, you know, it comes across in the debate with Joe Biden. Well, that was easy. I mean, Joe Biden was a dead man walking. Then you had Kamala Harris and everybody. Oh, it's a style point. Oh, she was wonderful, but she didn't say anything. And then when it counted, there was Donald Trump, especially with the closing statement. Boom. J.D. Vance, though, that's just a whole nother level here. This guy is a trained debater. This guy, I mean, totally eviscerated Tim Walz, but did it with a smile and warmth in his heart. He was a sledgehammer with a velvet glove. Well, you know, a lot of these news commentators, they're getting the same treatment. Martha Raddatz, she's an attack dog. You send a Martha Raddatz out, and what they'll do is they'll ask you a question, and then they'll answer it before they allow you to answer it. And if what they say is contrary to what they want, well, then they'll try to eviscerate you again. But that doesn't work with J.D. Vance. The issue, immigration. Martha Raddatz, she was like, you know, there are a lot of exaggerated claims made by President Trump. And, you know, you've got Republicans who said that he was completely wrong. Now, for most Republicans, you get into a situation like this, they kind of box you in, right? You're all boxed in. Not J.D. Vance.
I want to play some other comments about migrants, including in Aurora, in Colorado, where Trump said the city had been invaded and conquered by Venezuelan gangs. The Republican mayor of the city said flatly the city and state have not been taken over or invaded or occupied by migrant gangs. So do you support Donald Trump making those claims that the Republican mayor says were grossly exaggerated and have hurt the city's identity and sense of safety? Mm-hmm, I understand what you're saying, that some people left behind, but he's making these statements that the mayor is flat out disputing.
He's dangerous. He's making these dangerous statements. And a Republican mayor has flat out disputed it. Do you continue to stand by this inflamed rhetoric that your boss, that your running mate continues to throw out? Listen to how J.D. Vance just handled this, you know, this attack. And that's what it was. It was an attack. Trying to talk about how the president is overblown rhetoric. He always says things, they're lies.
Do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem and not Kamala Harris's open border. Americans are so fed up with what's going on, and they have every right to be. And I really find this exchange, Martha, sort of interesting, because you seem to be more focused with nitpicking everything that Donald Trump has said, rather than acknowledging that apartment complexes in the United States of America are being taken over by violent gangs. I worry so much more about that problem than anything else here. We've got to get American communities in a safe space again. And unfortunately, when you let people in by the millions, most of whom are unvetted, most of whom you don't know who they really are, you're going to have problems like this.
You're going to have problems like this. Do you hear yourself? I think I may have got ahead of myself. Do you hear yourself, Martha? Just a handful? You know, Martha Raddatz started out talking about, oh my good, the overblown rhetoric of Trump. The overblown rhetoric. Well, okay, it could be overblown, but seriously, what about the part of the, you know, Venezuelan gangs taking over these apartment complexes? What about that, Martha?
Well, Martha, you just said the mayor said they were exaggerated.
Grossly exaggerated.
That means there's got to be some element of truth here. And of course, President Trump was actually in Aurora, Colorado, talking to people on the ground. And what we're hearing, of course, Martha, is that people are terrified by what has happened with some of these Venezuelan gangs.
Senator Vance, I'm going to stop you because I know exactly what happened.
Exactly.
The incidents were limited to a handful. Apartment complexes, and the mayor said our dedicated police officers have acted on those concerns. A handful of problems.
A handful. Just a handful. Only a handful. And that's when J.D. Vance is like, do you hear yourself? Only a handful? Wait a minute. You've got Venezuelan gangs taking over apartment buildings in America. And you say only a handful? Oh, he was mocking her. He was mocking Miss Raddatz. And Miss Raddatz knew it. But you know what? Just like a shrill shrew, she had to have the last word. But not before J.D. Vance again mocked this woman.
Kamala Harris, 94 executive orders that undid Donald Trump's successful border policies. We knew this stuff would happen.
They
bragged about opening the border. And now we have the consequences and we're living with it. We can do so much better. But frankly, we're not going to do better, Martha, unless Donald Trump calls this stuff out. I'm glad that he did.
Okay, let's just end that with they did not invade or take over the city, as Donald Trump said. I want to move on to
just a few
women.
Apartment complexes, no big deal.
A few apartment complexes that the mayor did not seem was invading the entire city.
Look at the point she's standing on. And J.D. Vance is brilliant. Yeah, no, just a few apartment complexes. That's all. Yeah, just a few that the mayor said. No. I'm sorry. He just eviscerated her. Anybody watching that? By the way that J.D. Vance responded to her, anybody watching that sees this for what it is. They still think they could bring this man on and carve him up. They can't. And you know what? J.D. Vance is showing the way for other Republicans. I'll give you another example later in the show. They can't touch him. When you compare Donald Trump's choice for VP to Kamala Harris's choice for VP, it really is night and day, and it shows you how valuable leadership is, competent leadership. Kamala Harris wanted to bring somebody on dumber than herself to make her look good. You know what? That's been the Democrats' way for the last couple of cycles. You had Obama bring on Biden because he's dumber. Then you had Biden bring on Harris because she's dumber. And now you got Harris with Tim Walz. I don't know if you can get dumber than Tim Walz. It's actually very, very, what we're watching here is very instructive. Donald Trump brings on somebody who is just as brilliant, if not more brilliant than he is. You got people who are excited about J.D. Vance. I mean, God willing, we get Trump back in there. We got 4 years to set things up. And then God willing, we got 8 years of Vance. I'm cool with that. Saturday Night Live, though. Well, I think they've thrown in the towel. We also got to talk about the latest controversies that Tim Walz finds himself in. It's not going good for the Harris-Walz campaign. And I'm loving it. I'm telling you. I'm loving it. Patience, and calm yourself down, James T. Harris. We still got to get to election day. We still got to get all of our friends out to the polls. That has to happen, and that has to happen soon, and you'll have the opportunity. Ballots have gone out. James T. Harris is sitting in for the Jesse Kelly Show.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
You are listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris. I am a talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona. My show, The Conservative Circus, can be heard Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. You can catch it on the free iHeartRadio app. I am telling you, the choices that we have to make during the election this year. It's easy. It should be very easy. I mean, do you want 4 more years of this? Or do you want to try to go back to a time when America was more prosperous, where there was less conflict in the world, where there was actually peace through strength? Okay, let's say you're dealing with personalities. Let's say you're just buying all of the, you know, the crap that President Trump is a moron, or sorry, is a racist, and that J.D. Vance is weird. Okay, oh, okay. Well, look at Team Harris. I mean, this woman is vapid, an empty vessel, and her choice for VP. My goodness, can you get any more daft than Tim Walz? Do you remember the most infamous line that he uttered during the debates?
I've become friends with school shooters. I've seen it.
I've become friends with school shooters. James, that was a gaffe. You know, he's become, you know, friends of the victims of school. Yeah, no. No benefit of the doubt, buddy. No. We don't get the benefit of the doubt. We're not giving it to the old goofy Tim Walz. And Tim Walz, I'm a coach. I'm a hunter. I like to go hunting. Really? You've got Tim Walz. He was out pheasant hunting over the weekend. And it was funny because, you know, they had a camera there. You know, that it kind of reminds me of Lurch. Well, what was Lurch's name? He ran for office, I think in 2000. John Kerry. John Kerry goes into a hunting shop, a bait shop. Where can I get me a hunting license? Really, dude? Where can I get me a hunting license? Is this how you think that people in, you know, rural America, where can I get me a hunting license? No, the elite. Well, you had Tim Walz. He was out there, you know, in the field with somebody else, and he had a new shotgun, and he was going pheasant hunting. And guess what? Guess what? He couldn't even load the thing. He had trouble loading the gun. Obviously, it wasn't his gun. Obviously, he didn't know what he was doing. I thought he was about to pull a Dick Cheney and shoot somebody in the back of the head.
No, it's not quite right. It's not quite right. How do you give it back?
Governor, what kind of gun is it?
This was a Beretta A400. I bought it when I was shooting a lot of trap because it has a kind of their patented thing, a kickoff. So when you get old, it doesn't hurt your shoulder as much.
Yeah, I don't think that was his gun. I just thought he couldn't get the shells in the gun. Yeah, it's a Beretta, you know, you put a little shoulder slack on it, so when you get old, you can't. Stop it! Stop it!
Shh. Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits.
You got Tim Walz is the Elmer Fudd of the Democrat Party. And that's not all. When it comes to Democrats and guns, you know, Democrats, they're supposed to be against guns, right? They want to have mandatory buybacks. They want to have stiffer penalties. They want to have red flag laws. And then all of a sudden, what was it, last week, you got Kamala Harris got caught in another lie, talking about she's a gun owner. And then at the 60 Minutes interview, you know, you had the reporter ask her the question, what gun do you own? I own a Glock. People do it. Really? That's problematic because if you own a Glock and you're in California, I mean, did you jump through the hoops to get that permitted? Is it even possible? You know things are bad. Things are out of control when Saturday Night Live keys in on you. Saturday Night Live for the last three weeks have been keying in on Kamala Harris, on Joe Biden, on Tim Walz. They brought back Dana Carvey. They brought back Myra Rudolph. And they have very funny skits. They even had Steve Harvey in there. You know, I forgot the name of Keenan somebody. Acting like Steve Harvey. They had an edition of the Family Feud with Donald Trump going against Kamala Harris.
Hey, 100 people surveyed, top 6 answers on the board. Name something that you keep in your glove compartment. Oh, VP Harris.
Steve, look. I was raised in a middle-class family, all right?
Oh, here we go.
Okay, my mother raised my sister and me, mm-hmm. all right? Yeah. She worked hard and saved up.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And we had a second mother, too.
Okay. Did that mother have a glove compartment?
A small business owner named Miss Shelton.
Okay, we got that. Something that you keep in your glove compartment.
Oh, a Glock, Steve. A big old Glock.
Nobody believes that. And they're making jokes about it. Why? Because it's unbelievable. See, that's what makes something funny. In order for something to be funny, you have to have it be, you know, somewhat based in reality. And that's why when Saturday Night Live was making fun of Donald Trump and they had the, oh my goodness, what's the name of the actor? His name just left my head. This is the one that shot that before those two people on the set of Rust. His name escapes me. Thank you. Thank you. That was Corey. That's another a producer over there for for Jesse Kelly. Yeah, Alec Baldwin. He was angry. You kind of have to like the person that you are impersonating in order for it to be kind of real. Everybody knew that he hated Donald Trump. So there was a certain ick factor, a certain, you know, you were uncomfortable watching him, you know, act like this if you were watching at all, because the ratings were in the toilet. We're going to talk about how the chocolate Jesus, Barack Hussein Obama, has stepped in it. That's coming up next on the Jesse Kelly Show. James T. Harris sitting in for Jesse Kelly.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.